Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of building blocks, we were on page 11, near the bottom of the page. So be ready to take notes as we start there today.
The earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
So it's important that you understand that the words bishop, elder, and pastor refer to the same office. Now, let me just put a little thing in there. Sometimes an elder is talking about older people. The context will show you whether it's talking about older people or not. The Greek word oinos is a good example of that. The word is often translated wine. Oinos could have been 100% alcoholic, or it could be the juice while it's still in the grape on the vine. Okay. So how would you know the difference? The context would show you the difference. For an example, in John chapter 2, Jesus did not make 120 gallons of alcoholic wine for people that had already been drinking a lot of wine, which I believe was just grape juice also they were drinking, and then to make that, and it's a small town, just a small place, they're there at this wedding feast. I don't know if they could drink that much, but even at a wedding feast, if they drank that much, they're all going to be drunk. Jesus didn't get people drunk. And so watch out for these people that call themselves conservative, but they're very liberal, and some of them in fundamental, so-called fundamental colleges. I have a hard time calling them a fundamental college when they don't hold to our King James, when they say it's all right to social drink and things of that nature. They're not fundamental. There are those that parade as angels of light, but they aren't. Now, they're only, when we look at elder, pastor, and bishop, they're only describing the different duties of the office. They refer to the same office, but it's just talking about the different duties of an office. The church has the responsibility of fulfilling the Great Commission. That is, to take the gospel to the world, beginning in its own community and spreading to the rest of the world via mission. We are to win the lost to Jesus Christ, teach them to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded us. Matthew 28:18-20. And of course, we are to baptize them as well. And each believer is to take this gospel to a lost and dying world. So we have that responsibility, each of us, before God. And so as we continue looking here at these eternal truths, you turn your page in this booklet, if you're following me in the booklet, and the very next page, we go to it, we see that it is important that if they're saved at home or in another place, that's outside the local church, it's important they make the decision public. Now, they don't have to be public to get saved. They can get saved at home. They can get saved at their bedside. They can get saved when somebody leads them to Christ. But it still needs to be made public. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 11, it says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed." In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men," Jesus says, "him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Now, he wants you to make a public statement of your salvation. He wants you to publicly associate with him. Now, this is usually done by walking forward in an invitation time of your church. Now, you could get men on a pickup truck and great big loudspeakers driving around and saying, I, Andy Bloom, just got saved today. Praise God. And we go up and down the streets like, before too long, they're going to arrest us, or they're going to have some guys in white jackets putting us in a hospital somewhere. And so there's a right way and there's a wrong way to do things. But the idea of a public profession of the faith that you have in Christ Jesus, I believe it starts right there in the local church, where you associate with the local church. And it's because you've been saved, and right after that, you get baptized. And many times after you get saved, you're accepted into the church pending your baptism, or you get baptized and you're accepted right then. Okay, so again, we share this with the church. The pastor will share it with the church when you come forward that you've received Christ as Savior and that you're now making it public. Again, we call that a public profession of Christ. The local church should be a church whose primary mission is to edify the people, that is the saved people of that church, through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. The local church, and hold on, the local church is not, again, the local church is not a social welfare agency. It does have responsibility of disciplining erring members. The church holds to baptism and the Lord's Supper as symbolic. For example, baptism is symbolic of what Christ did for us on the cross. He died there. He was buried, and that shows that when a person is immersed in water, and then he rose from the dead, and that's shown when the person is brought up out of the water. By the way, even Catholics baptized this way up to about 1200 A.D. Now, they kind of stopped a lot of it because some of the babies they were baptizing were getting drowned. But the Church of England, it changed to sprinkling in about the 1600s when, by vote of Parliament, which is the Church of England is a state church, and so it, by a vote of Parliament, by one vote, okay, I think it's like 26, 25, 25, 24, whatever, but it's by one vote, instead of immersion, it would be sprinkling. And so they thought they could change what the Bible says, but the Bible says it's by immersion. That's what the word baptized means. The word baptized is just a transliteration of the Greek word baptizo, and it means to immerse. Why? Because it shows the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ when he died for our sins on the cross. The communion, when we had the Lord's Supper, the juice, and by the way, we use juice, not alcoholic wine. Why? Because alcohol is a product of decay. Now remember the bread in the Lord's Supper is unleavened, because leaven is a picture of sin. Well, alcohol is also a picture of sin because it is leavened. Okay, so the blood of Jesus Christ was innocent blood that was shed for us. So in the Lord's Supper, the blood that was shed for us represents the blood of Jesus Christ in that juice. It's symbolic. It doesn't turn into blood when it goes inside us. It's not the Holy Spirit that comes in us through that juice, okay? Rather, it is symbolic of what Christ did for us. He shed his blood for our sins and what our sins required. The bread is of his broken body. That's not broken bones, that's broken skin, okay? But that's what it's representative of. So again, if you go back to Acts chapter 2 and verses 41 and 42, you begin to see what that is talking about in that passage, because if you remember there when we read that earlier, we read how they were added to church daily, such as should be saved. That's how they were. They received the word, they were baptized the same day, and they were added to the church about 3,000 souls. Acts 2:41 said, verse 42 said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. The word fellowship, by the way, means partnership. If you read my booklet there on fellowship, you'll see clearly that's what that means. and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Then verse 47, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to church daily, such as should be saved. They're added when they get saved, not before they get saved, okay? That is God's way. In Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 28, if you read there, you see that the Apostle Paul is meeting with those elders from Ephesus, and oh, they're shedding tears because he's just told them they would see him no more. But he gives them a warning. Verse 28 there of Acts 20 says, and take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. See how important it is? Many of you know that our Lamp and Light broadcast is usually a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God. When we get to the end of the book, sometimes I'll have this in between, a separate study in between that's not going verse-by-verse, but still of a doctrinal nature. But you see the importance it is to God. Understand, this Word was breathed out by God. Every word by His Holy Ghost, every word is breathed out. Men, it wasn't their thoughts, it was the mind of God, and therefore they wrote down, they had to be holy men just to write them down. But they wrote down those words, and we have today preserved for us the Word of God. But he emphasizes the importance of teaching and preaching the Word of God. So Acts 20:28, he says, take heed to yourself. Listen, watch out. Take heed to yourself, to all the flock of which the Holy Ghost will made you overseers, to feed the church of God that he's purchased his own blood. Now, he'll go on to tell them how that evil men will come in and try to devour the flock after he was gone. And so, preachers, pastors, one day you will be gone if the Lord tarries his coming from that church. And you need to feed them. So if somebody comes in there and tries to deceive them, turn them to the contemporary, turn them to Calvinism or some other filth and false doctrine, then you can have equipped your people to be able to stand against that kind of a thing. We also think of other passages of scripture in connection with this. There's Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23. I find that very interesting there where he talked to the people there and in that passage. And again, he says, and he hath put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So Jesus Christ is the head of the local church, not the pastor. It's not a denominational head. It's not a pope. It's not anything. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Now, since Christ is the head of the church, we have a responsibility within this thing. And Jesus Christ, we find in the Word of God, he laid out the offices of the church. So what is our responsibility with him having laid out the offices of the church for us?
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation.